The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
The shepherds went in haste to Bethlehem and found Mary and Joseph and the infant lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known the message that had been told them about this child. All who heard it were amazed by what had been told them by the shepherds. And Mary kept all these things, reflecting on them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, just as it had been told to them. When 8 days were completed for his circumcision, he was named Jesus, the name given him by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
So now, and in the time that we have at our disposal, this evening, for an hour or two, just like to see if I can tie up a few things. Christmas is halfways over now. The Christmas season continues until January the 13th, when we celebrate the baptism of Jesus. But for most people, Christmas is over. So I want to kind of go back, and as Mary, we're taught in the Gospel this evening, she pondered all these things and reflected them in her heart. And so Christmas can be a very sentimental time, and we miss maybe the whole message and the whole meaning of Christmas. And there's so much to be taken from how Jesus came into this world, the whole story surrounding Christmas. So I want to take a kind of a panoramic view, and you'll see hopefully that it covers the whole spectrum of life as we experience it at this moment, and then conclude with today's feast, which is the feast day of Mary, the Mother of God. So just going back then to beginning with the Annunciation for a brief Mary's real name, we're dealing with history now, the bit we know about Mary from a historical source. Mary's real name was Miriam, M-I-R-I-A-M, Miriam. And Mary, when the Annunciation took place, she would have been about 14 or 15. And that might come as a surprise to many people. And by way, before I deal with Mary, I want to say, when you look at a statue of Mary, that doesn't do justice to the woman that we are talking about at all. Because when most of you think of Mary, don't you think of a woman in a beautiful blue robe with her hands raised to the sky? Well, I'm pretty sure Mary never possessed a beautiful blue robe in her life. And she never went around with her hands raised to the sky. Mary would have been uneducated. And at 14 or 15, her daily routine would be working in the kitchen and working in the garden or in the land. That would be the normal thing for a young girl of her age in those days. She was almost certainly black-skinned. Not, I don't mean black-skinned, but dark-skinned, Probably dark eyes and dark hair. Now, we continue with that story. Then the angel comes and tells her, this little girl, 14 or 15, she's going to be the mother of God. Poor Mary must have been just astounded. She didn't understand. We know that again from the gospel. So Mary becomes another teenage pregnancy. So you see now, right away, how it's beginning to fit into a lot of what's happening in life to today. And she's on her own. Now, how does Joseph come into the picture? Well, in the days that we're talking about, families lived in small communities, maybe five or six families, and they lived around almost like a little circle, and they would all have known each other. And almost certainly, Joseph was part of that little community. So he would have known Mary. Now again, going back to historical accounts, it's quite possible, I'm not saying this is anyway certain, that Joseph was married, his wife had died, he possibly maybe had a family, and he was a widower. And so he was an obvious choice to take on Mary and look after her, which he did. Very worried. So now there we have two people very worried. Can we identify with that? Problems. How are we going to deal with this? Can you see how real the whole story of Christmas is? And what an injustice we do to it when we over-sentimentalize it or paint pictures of Mary like that. Now, what kind of a person was Mary? She heard the news that her cousin Elizabeth was also pregnant, and she was pretty old herself, and Zachary. And what did Mary do? She forgot about herself, and she went off to look after Elizabeth, because she thought an old lady like her could do with a bit of help, because Zachary isn't going to be much help. You know, like most men. Pretty useless. So off she goes, and she looks after Elizabeth. Totally forgetting about herself. What a beautiful example. Now where is the lady in a beautiful blue robe with her hands joined all day? Far from that. She's busy. She goes off because she knows Elizabeth, poor Elizabeth, at her age, and she's pregnant. She could do with a bit of help. Then she comes back, and eventually it comes to the time for Jesus to be born. Now, we're not sure how they arrived in Bethlehem or how they came to be in Bethlehem. But let's look at the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem just for a brief moment. And sometimes we're told he was born in a stable. Well, if we go back to the original Aramaic and the Hebrew and we come across the word manger, what does that really mean? Well, you have a good example of it here. The normal house in Judea at that time was a house something like our altar here and where I am down here. Pretty open. They didn't have any interior walls. And at night time, they would bring the animals in from outside for two reasons to provide shelter, to protect them, and also, very important, to provide heat for the family. Now, I lived on a farm, and when I lived on a farm, we had no central heating or anything like that. So it was pretty cold. But the best place to be, if you wanted to get some heat, was to go out to the cattle shed at night, because it was lovely and warm, because cattle generate a lot of heat. And in Sweden, at one stage, somebody developed a system where they had a pipe coming from the cattle shed into the house to provide heat. It was a form of central heating, and it was very effective as long as you didn't mind the smell. But it was very effective, and it was good. It was good. So almost certainly, little Jesus would have been born in an ordinary family house. The house would have been full. And where was a wonderful place to place him? In the hay, in the manger, the feeding trough for the cattle. He would be lovely and warm and cozy. And we're told Mary wrapped him in swaddling clothes and what? Laid him in the manger. And that's the meaning of the manger. Now, what do we see every day? When we turn on the news on television, what do we see? Little families, women and children and men, fleeing from some despot who is trying to kill them, fleeing for their lives. What do we see the Holy Family doing? Fleeing into Egypt with the little child. Can you imagine for a moment what that was like? You know, you see some horrible pictures on the news media these days. Mary and Joseph experienced that. So right away we can, you know, we can, so many people can identify with that. So can you see all the things that come if you really, like Mary, reflect and ponder in your heart? And then eventually they come back and they settle down in Nazareth. Have you ever asked yourself what kind of a son Jesus was and what it was like to cope with him? Well, I think it was a pretty hard job. He would have been difficult because he was a son of God. He was different. And poor Mary at times must have been driven to her wit's ends. How will I cope with this son of mine? How will I cope with him? Now, we also know that early on in Jesus' life, it's almost pretty certain, that Joseph died because he was quite a bit older than Mary. And so, what do we have now? We have a widow. Many of you can identify with that. And we have a one-parent family. So, can you see how, when you think it through, it fits into every, covers the whole spectrum of life. And we go on a little bit further to finish off the story. This son eventually leaves home. And Mary is now on her own. But people are coming and saying, he's preaching, he's doing all kinds of things. He's got all kinds of strange people following him. And eventually Mary comes with some of his cousins and so on. And she sends somebody in to tell Jesus, your mother and your family are out. And again, she just wanted them to come home. She was worried about them. Like you would be worried about a son that joins some kind of a strange outfit, wouldn't you? You'd be wondering what to do with him. So she probably said, for God's sake. Well, she didn't probably say for God's sake, but she probably said, come in, no, just come, will you come home? And he sends out the message, these are my mother and father and brother and sisters. And poor Mary must have been. Now go on a bit further, and then Mary sees her son treated in the way he was, spat upon, scourged, and eventually crucified. Can you imagine the pain in her heart? Some of you here will have lost a son or a daughter. It doesn't matter how they died, you felt it, didn't you, in your heart? A dad or a mother, one of the worst things you can go through is losing a daughter or a son. It leaves an emptiness and a terrible pain in your heart. Mary went through that. This is, we're talking about this woman that we have been very, done an injustice to, because we've totally taken her out of reality. And she's not. That's Mary. And she went through suffering and pain, all the things that we go through every day of our lives. And today, that's the feast day we celebrate of this wonderful, beautiful woman called Mary. So real, that you or I have no difficulty in identifying with her. She understands. That's the beautiful thing about Mary, what we go through in life, you know, all the problems we encounter. So I just want you to look back for one moment. What kind of a year did you have? When you look back on the year that just finished, I hope you haven't said, thank God that year is finishing. You probably had problems and you probably had difficulties. And that's pretty normal. And if you think you're not going to have any problems and difficulties this year, well then, you're not living in the real world. You're not being realistic. You're not being realistic. When I look back on the last 12 months, personally, I can share it with you. I don't want you all to share. It wouldn't be fair. What kind of year was it for me? Wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. Did I have any problems or difficulties? Hey, I'm normal. I'm human. Of course I did. I did. Of course I did. But wouldn't life be very dull and very monotonous if we didn't? So, I did. But no matter what happened, I thanked God for everything because God was in everything. That's the important thing. And so, my year was full of joy. And today, as I enter a new year, I'm still carrying that joy into the new year. So how do I? A lot of people today seem to be very fearful. So where's your trust? Your trust in the Lord. You either trust or you don't. So really, did the Lord in any way let you down in the last 12 months? Yes or no? Did he let you down? No. Did he ever forsake you for one moment? No. Did you let him down in some ways? Yep. It's normal. It's human. But that's why Jesus came among us, to tell us it's okay to be human and to be normal. That's why he came. So, and do you make a resolution or resolutions at the beginning of the last year? For example, did you decide on the 1st of January, I'm going to lose weight? And have you lost weight? Well, my resolution for the coming year really is simple. Simple. Very simple. To live every day to the best of my ability, one day at a time. One day at a time. And to become more and more aware every day of God's amazing love for me. That's my simple resolution for the new year. So, I say to you, if you do that, really do that, live every day to the best of your ability, come what may, deal with whatever comes, at the end of the year, you'll be able to look back full of joy. Because God brings good out of everything, even the worst possible situation. So, cherish all your yesterdays. Dream your tomorrows, but live your today. Finally, you cannot sink yourself into a new way of living. You can only live yourselves into a new way of thinking. So may God bless you, and may you have a wonderful new year. Amen.